We Got the Geek is recorded before a live studio audience.
All right, it's Jay Stu, still here at the wonderful Cambridge Comic Arts Festival 2017, here with my partner in crime for the day, the lovely and talented author extraordinaire, Sarah Waterhaven.
I really love when you introduce me. I just, my ego inflates like three, four times the size. I feel great.
Like the Grinch's heart.
That's correct. Yes. Wow.
Wow. So
Thanks, tell us
who we're speaking with next, Sarah.
Today we're speaking to James Banbury. Say hi, James.
Hello.
Yeah. So James and I met, which convention was it? Was it SFConterio?
SFConterio.
Yeah, Tim today too was at SFConterio. Yeah, I believe we were on a social media type of panel.
Bleary Sunday morning panel.
Yeah. which
was attended about as well as one would expect things to happen on a Sunday morning, and
yeah,
quickly turned into taking the chairs from behind the tables and just making a cozy circle where we discussed.
Yeah, it was basically a circle where we taught each other marketing.
Yeah.
It was like, Wattpad works for you. Okay, let me try Wattpad. Tumblr works for you. Let me try Tumblr.
Yeah.
You know, like we just kind of were discussing different social media. One of the interesting notes was one of the authors there had like a fun little marketing technique, I think, that we all left with that day. So, yeah. And ever since then, every time I see you, we just, yeah, it's good to see you again. Convention over and over again.
Yeah.
So, James here. Oh. That happened. So remember that.
Thanks, Gru.
So that was Gru, a.k.a. Dr. Steeble.
With his flatulence gun.
His fart gun, which he told me about 2 hours ago that the batteries ran out.
Oh, that's a shame.
Yeah. So back to James.
Yeah.
When we first started talking, James, you primarily had written short fiction.
Yeah. I write pieces of dour short fiction. That was sort of my main point of entry into trying to write, trying to, you know, understand the craft. I believe, you know, short science fiction is like the jazz music of prose. The audience is mostly composed of other writers and editors, and it's a really good way to just try to build your craft, to build that confidence of trying to do things that impress your peers. I really enjoy that. But then I stumbled across this other idea, actually, for the webcomic, Spacebox. I never intended to do that, but my best friend had written a script for a short film he thought that would be like about a guy that he would just get a single actor inside like a coffin, and he would just describe how this was some escape pod and this guy had been betrayed by his crew, and it was this thing that, yeah, he got it from some Edgar Allan Poe story, and he gave me the script to read over, and I looked at it and said, hey, this is really cool, but you know, like, there's a lot of really fun things could happen before this guy falls into the sun. Like, imagine, like, this could be a wacky comedy that we've got here. Let's do like a wacky comedy web series where we do this and put it on YouTube. And he said, that's an amazing idea and you should do that. I want nothing to do it. I'll keep my little script, but go and have
take this and run.
Yeah, and then I started trying to think about, I wrote up about a dozen scripts for different episodes. I started thinking about trying to shoot some test footage and try this as an animated thing, or I would maybe get an actor and build a small box and put them in it, and then just do it like a radio play where you, and then I had to kind of get real about where my skills are at, and how much money you can throw into like a visual
time and money.
This. And you can really, I don't know if you've done any work in film or TV or whatnot, but you can pour your heart out into like trying to make a video or a movie, and one thing goes wrong that makes it unwatchable.
Right.
There's so many points of failure. It's like, it's a house of cards.
Yeah.
So the path of least resistance seemed to be learning how to use free vector graphics editing.
Yeah.
And that, and taking, you know, and I said, what I lack in artistic talent and craft, I will compensate for with restraint. And so I came about with this space box, which is really kind of like a radio play with a few pictures.
I really enjoy it, and I remember like you sending me a link to like the first little strip on this website.
Yeah.
It was just a couple panels, I think, when you first linked me to it.
Yeah, I sort of put out the first couple pages to, you know, people, the, you know, kind of beta readers, to just kind of see what the response was. And it was good. Oh, I had this massive panic. Like, the night I did that, I'd originally done this as this crazy blogger template, and then things went completely wrong, and it went defaulted down to, like, the basic blogger template with all these things. And I was so mad. Yeah, really. But it's come along since then, and now
it's interesting because I've read two things from you.
Yes.
One was a story that you sent me, and it was published online, and it was a short story about these organisms that were traveling through a maze. So there was the observer or the scientist who was recording things, and then there were the organisms. So the first one kind of comes into existence and doesn't do much, and then the second one starts to do the maze, and then by the time we get to the last organism, now these organisms have a very short lifespan. I mean, they basically live the maze and then they die.
Oh, wow.
And so by the time you get to the last one, there is consciousness, there we go, I can do it. And it has self-realization and it doesn't want to die. And I just remember like just bawling at my computer. Yeah, feel bad, you should. So, and I'm just thinking about it, and I felt it from a short story where you don't even know what the scientist looks like. You're not really even looking at a setting. It made me feel so much, right?
Yeah.
And then you get to Space Box, and it's comical, right? And I'm really seeing that you're nice and diverse, right? Your writing, your creativity.
Yeah. Thank you. Thanks for that one. 13 Generations. That's
13 Generations.
Probably
that's
one of the better ones I wrote.
Yeah.
The idea was to take the sort of Zeno's paradox, where you have the tortoise that and the hare, and each one moves sort of half the length, but I turned that into kind of half the lifespan, and then there's some word that I had found through the copious Wikipedia reading I did before I wrote it, that, about the idea of like transferring intelligence kind of genetically between generations of this little species that live there, and just that, sort of setting that in motion and then having it carry out. And and then there's in Space Box, I don't know, because I'd like to try being funnier in prose, but it's harder to do that. It's easier to get that comic timing, like it's more.
Well, the dialogue in this between the main character and the computer that runs the life support is what makes this funny, you know?
Yeah.
And just the two of them drifting in space, life left up to chance, right?
Yeah, and there's the, that's, I find I can't really do like these, I don't know, I guess I'm very limited. I can't really hold too many different voices in my head at the same time. I find the better things I write are really stripped down, where you get one or two characters usually just kind of talking things over and trying to work them out like a minimal stage play. That's about as much as I can handle. And you know, there's a lot to be said for addition by subtraction. A lot of details that aren't really necessary come out. So even though I had like descriptions of, say, the scientist in that other story, they kind of came out. We don't really mention the name, we don't mention the gender, we don't mention a lot of other things. The only details that are important are how they relate to what they're doing in the story. If it's not there, I don't need to.
Yeah, and for you listeners, I attempted a short story. I do have it free on my website, but you know, James gave me a lot of great input, because I had actually never spoken to a short fiction writer, you know, sci-fi fantasy specifically, because I always think of things in books in detail, right? I'm like, what does this person look like? What's their past? What's their present? And my brain just goes so far, right? And to work with you and to be like, we don't need this. It was such a challenge for me. So I found that whole process very fascinating.
Yeah. I'm all about, when in doubt, take it out.
Like, my dad says that about my stuff. When in doubt, throw it out.
Yeah, I could probably do a better job at actually just trying to write more or have novels, because people like novels. They want to be invested in them. They want to have characters they get to know and sort of spend time with. And I have a hard time getting to like the small talk. I think the best writers and the best stories are where people kind of hook you with one thing, but there's really a different story going on. Like, and what you thought you wanted or what you showed up for isn't the real thing. It's developed.
There's an underlining. Yeah, there's a subplot that turns out to be the main plot. You're like, whoa.
Yeah. It's that undercurrent is what really makes the.
I hope you enjoy
that. That's what really is going to sell.
Thank you so much.
Sell the story, make people invest in it, and they don't really kind of notice the tectonic shift of larger themes happening. And I have a hard time doing small talk. I just kind of want to get down to it's really important.
No, it's good. I'm just like Anne blowing my listeners right now. Pow, pow.
Yeah, that was good.
But
much inside baseball on like the story. should I talk about how it's like Doctor Who, but he's in a box, but it's not bigger on the inside, and he can't get out of it.
This story sucks.
And he's more mentally impaired, and he can't really. He's not terribly bright, so it's harder for him to kind of.
Well, even though it's been simplified to these two primary characters, you're on the second volume now.
Yeah.
So this is different than just a short piece of fiction, you know?
It's interesting having this yarn, because I have an ending for this, but a lot of it I have to make up as I go along. Mm-hmm. But it's funny, I wouldn't tell anyone to do this as a process, but the act of writing out a dozen episodes of what would have been a web series was really good. And I thought when I was going to do this as a web comic, this will be easy. I just make pictures and I'll just cut and paste all the dialogue. And I really underestimated the craft you need for the graphic form. That there's a lot more work in terms of visually spreading things out, just how you position dialogue on a page, how you tune everything is really vital. But the act of creating all this stuff in the first place made it easier to learn who the characters were. It's easier just to kind of set something in motion, and then these two, just Bardo and Val, just will start arguing with each other. And many pages come out of just sitting down and kind of transfer what they're thinking.
So do you, in your process then, you're writing out the dialogue first, and then you're putting images to it, or are you kind of everywhere?
I did that at first, and then I've gotten away with that. Now I just have a feeling of where I kind of want that punchline to go, and just starting, they improvise now.
Yeah.
It's like having actors who have figured out who their characters are, and now that they just...
It's a hard thing to explain to somebody who's not a writer or a creative-minded person, that when you're creating something, it seems to be coming from somewhere else. It's like you're the observer, and you're recording it sometimes, and you're just like, how the heck is this happening? Am I mentally ill? I'm not sure. I remember, during some of my, writing, I was just like, where is this coming from? I feel like I'm watching a movie that I didn't write, and yet it happens, and it seems like your brain is communicating between two different areas.
It's a good way to get out of yourself. If you're wanting to get into writing, I'd tell someone play some role-playing games.
Yeah.
Do some stuff online. Go LARPing. Do something where you kind of have to get out of yourself and adopt a voice. And when you can get to a point where your brain can suddenly become a voice of someone else and do that, then that's a transferable skill into writing.
Yeah.
You know, as much as there's many good things to learn, the nuts and bolts of the craft, if you're writing prose, how sentences and scenes go together, structuring plots, but really understanding character and getting in that is invaluable, because ultimately people connect with characters. I mean, there's many people would say big audiences have grasped onto what are probably poorly written things, but with characters and ideas they've connected.
Yes.
Like, look at, not that I want to.
Here we go. I'm ready.
The Martian.
Uh huh.
I don't know if The Martian's that good, but I could only get through half a chapter of it. It was just not, the craft isn't there.
Fun fact.
Yeah.
Self-published novel.
Yes.
Self-published novel, The Martian. Yeah. Yeah. I think for some people, in the sci-fi community, some of the issues were like how he held the dome together on Mars with duct tape. You know, there were moments like that. I think that they were like, I don't think I can handle this right now. Yeah. So, but it was still, you were in love with that character, and you wanted to know what happened.
Yeah, like, it was not the book for me, and that's okay. But there's something that wasn't conventionally written. It wasn't written with the same literary layers that people would want to necessarily celebrate if you're in the Hugo Awards.
Yeah.
But this connected. It found an audience, because a lot of people like to think of that self-made person, that guy who can just MacGyver his way to survival.
It's very much related to the American dream, you know what I mean? And the idea that, you know, if you believe it, you can do it.
And they like that character. So that's there's something where it doesn't have to be written as well if you figured out that right approach. I mean, I say that not that I really want to read any books like The Martian.
I don't recommend this book, but it was great. I mean, wait.
It's a neat book. Yes.
So, Spacebox. Now, you sell the comics here at the Comic Art Festival, but where else can people read it or buy it? Like, how do you people find you and support you?
Don't say it too loudly for all the potential customers around, but they can read all of this for free online at www.spaceboxcomic.com.
But really, you should buy it. Because there's nothing like holding it in your hand. Come on, comic book collectors. Are they able to order these from your website? Or?
Oh, no.
Not there yet. Not there yet. We're going to get there. I'm going to...
Definitely.
We'll get there.
You're planning more volumes, right?
Yes, more planning. I've hit a bit of a creative snag because the character's about to start creating a bunch of work with ASCII art, and I thought that'll be simple, and then I've realized I actually have to invent, figure out a whole other process for actually coming up with what ASCII art looks like that he'd be making. It's complicated, but
I'm looking forward to it, though. I know you figured it out.
Well, yeah, I thought this will be easy, and then I realized that, oh, no, there's a whole lot more to this that
Yeah, I mean, which goes to show that regardless of how simple something might look, you know, with a simple art, it could, you know, be insanely complicated. And you know, no matter which way you spin it, a creative product involves time.
Yeah.
And learning the whole way through. And every time you think you've learned something, you gotta learn something new. You're like, man, again? So, yeah.
I learned a lot about this project. I can't wait to check it out. Well, we appreciate you speaking with us. And Sarah, as always, great job.
Oh, thanks, man. Yeah.
And
I read my friend's stuff. I did a dance. You guys missed it.
We'll video it for later.
Yeah, that's right.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. To hear more We Got the Geek, check us out at www.wegotthegeek.com and on iTunes.
We'll just say the...
Okay.
Well, we appreciate you speaking with us, and... Sarah, as always, great job.
Oh, thanks, man. Yeah.
And
I read my friend's stuff. I did a dance. You guys missed it.
We'll video it for later.
Yeah, that's right.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.